That's so true. Jesus gave his all and he paid it all for us. He didn't pay it most or some. Jesus paid it all. And that's good news. Good news. If you have your Bible this morning, I'd like to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 5. We'll look at verses 36 through 39. A message entitled Incompatibles. Incompatibles. The new faith and the old life are incompatible. And this morning we'll see what a person needs is a new faith and a new life and a new lifestyle that goes with it. Luke 5, 36 to 39. I want to welcome those of you watching in our modern service today. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Those of you at home as well, thank you for your being here online. Luke verse 5, chapter 5, verse 36. It says, "And he, Jesus, was telling them a parable. A parable is an earthly story meant to relate a heavenly truth. No one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. Otherwise, he'll both tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst in the skins, and it will spill out, and the skins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins." New wine, new containers. New inside, new outside. We don't want an incompatibility between the two. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll speak to every heart today, those here in this building, those in the Life Center, those watching at home, those watching in the future after today. And God, you'll encourage us all to know for sure that we're born again on the inside and we're living it on the outside, that we're expressing real faith that flows from a heart that's been changed from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. God, I pray you'll work in every heart today. Draw us closer to you. If there's one that's never been regenerated, born again, new inside, today would be that day. God, you would do a great miracle in their heart. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I learned about incompatibles at my first job as a stock boy at the B&B convenience store. One of my jobs was sweeping and mopping the floor after the store closed. Now, the sweeping was easy. You got the big T-handle push mop, push broom, and you just kind of swept all the aisle. That was easy. But I noticed the floor was really dirty as I did my mopping, and I thought a basic floor cleaner probably would not do the job. So I put in a little bleach in my mop bucket, and I said, "Hey, this is going good, but it's still not doing a good job. I need something to help the bleach." So I mixed in, oh, you didn't do it, preacher. I did. I put ammonia in with the bleach, and I began to mop the floor. Good news, it started working really well. Bad news is my eyes began to burn, and my nose began to burn. And I told the cashier, I said, "Something's wrong. My nose is burned. My eyes are really watered." She said, "What did you put in that mop bucket?" I said, "Well, just hot water, some bleach, and ammonia." She said, "Pour that out. You can't combine bleach and ammonia." Well, in all fairness, I wasn't even 16 years old yet. All I had was a work permit, and I hadn't yet taken high school chemistry that would let me know that ammonia plus Clorox equals that deadly chemical called ammonia chloride. Thankfully, I survived my first encounter with incompatibles. Others, however, have not fared so well. In 2013, 2,800 tons of ammonia nitrate were offloaded in a warehouse in Beirut, Lebanon. A Ukrainian ship was found not to be seaworthy, and soon the ship sank, and so the 2,800 tons of ammonia nitrate was left at Lebanon's port in a warehouse. Well, as time passed, port authorities also offloaded a huge illegal shipment of fireworks from another ship. And where did they put the illegal fireworks? Go ahead and guess. Right next to the 2,800 tons of ammonia nitrate, which is worse than my ammonia chloride debacle in 1976. Well, this past August, as you remember, there was a terrible fire in the warehouse containing the fireworks, and the 2,800 tons of ammonia nitrate all exploded. And the explosion was so great it could be felt 150 miles away. Institute for Geosciences said it was the largest non-nuclear explosion in history. 204 people killed, 6,500 injured, 300,000 homeless, Damage to property was over $15 billion. In fact, hospitals couldn't even tend patients. They had to tend them in the street because 90% of the hospitals were blown up. Somebody stored incompatibles together in Beirut, Lebanon. Chlorine and ammonia, ammonium nitrate, fireworks. What's another incompatible? How about the new faith in Christ and the old lifestyle before we came to faith? Friend, these things are incompatible. Here Jesus is teaching the incompatibility of salvation by works with salvation by grace, which is the way the religious leaders were teaching and the way that Jesus taught. They were incompatible. No way Jesus could simply tack on what he was teaching to what the scribes and Pharisees were teaching. These two systems of salvation were incompatible. Law and grace are like ammonia and bleach, and to mix them is to get something deadly and poisonous. What's the primary message here in this passage? Well, there's application certainly that the new faith is incompatible with the old lifestyle. And if you mix these two, you'll have something that will be dangerous and make you ineffective in the kingdom of God. We cannot claim to be a new creation on the inside if we're still living the same old lifestyle on the outside. We need to be new on the inside with real faith and new on the outside with a brand new lifestyle. Our belief ought to affect our behavior. New actions ought to go with new faith, or else we can question whether or not the faith is really new. Now, I've read about a lot of celebrities who claim to be Christians one minute and have a new faith, but the next minute they're going back to the old lifestyle, calling into question, did they really have the new faith or not? Well, today's parable not only shows us grace and works are incompatible, but what the religious leaders taught with what Jesus taught was incompatible, but the new faith in Christ is also incompatible with the old lifestyle. And friend, if you want to be an effective servant for God, you need to understand these three powerful facts. What are they? Fact number one, recognizing a person can be good on the outside, but bad on the inside. Look in verse 36. Good on the outside, bad on the inside. Verse 36, and Jesus was telling them a parable. No one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. Otherwise, he'll both tear the new and the piece from the new will not match the old. Now, years ago when I was a kid, when the knees wore out on the blue jeans, Mom would put a patch on the knees. Of course, now it's cool having jeans with holes in them, not patches. The problem with a new patch on some old jeans is the old jeans have already shrunk. So when you put the new patch on them, the new patch will shrink after only a few washings, and it'll pull from the old jeans and tear away. The new cloth refers to the way of grace that Jesus brought. The old garment pictures the way of works, which the religious leaders taught. And there was no way our Lord was simply going to tack on what he brought with what these Jewish leaders were teaching. Salvation by rituals and legalistic practices was incompatible with grace through faith. As one writer put it, Jesus didn't come to patch up the old defective system. He came to replace it with a garment of salvation apart from the works of the law. The works of the law were based on what a person did, but grace through faith is based on what Jesus did, and they're incompatible systems. Works are something done on the outside. Grace is something done on the inside. A new patch on an old garment shows a new lifestyle, but a bad inside. Did you know that a person can do religious things outside, exterior things like go to church and go to Bible study and sing and pray and carry a Bible and look religious and be wrong on the inside because they've never experienced the new birth? The outside looks new, but the inside is still old. In Ezekiel 36:26, God said, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I'll remove the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances. Now, the scribes and Pharisees looked religious and clean on the outside, but they were dirty and dead on the inside. And Jesus said, woe to you, teachers of the law, Pharisees, hypocrites, you look like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. Did you know there are those who look good and clean on the outside, but they're unsaved and unregenerate on the inside. Outside looks good, the inside's not so good. Lab workers at Henry Ford Hospital wanted to find out the dirtiest item in your home. And so they swabbed cultures from Elsa McCavage's home, Elisa McCavage's home. They went through her home. She had a round of stomach flu. And so she brought these lab technicians in to do a culture with the swab on a nutrient auger dish. And bottom line, she wanted to find out where all the bacteria was hiding in her home. They tested the TV remote control. They tested her cell phone, the bathroom doorknob, the refrigerator handle, lunch boxes, car steering wheel, and Alyssa's purse. Of these seven items, TV remote control, cell phone, bathroom doorknob, refrigerator handle, lunchbox, car steering wheel, and purse, which one had the worst, highest level of bacteria by a long shot? Enough bacteria to make you sick. Which one of those seven would you guess? Oh, got different guesses. Life Center folks, what's your guess? Out loud. One of you got it. One of you got it. In the video segment, the TV cameraman panned all seven items. Now, the home where this lady lived was a really nice, affluent, big, beautiful home. I mean, she had all the big stuff in the kitchen, the big island, the stainless steel double-door huge refrigerator. But as they tested all the items for bacteria, the dirtiest item in the home was the refrigerator door handle. They did the culture. It was the kind of bacteria that would make you and your kids sick. By the way, when's the last time you cleaned the refrigerator door handle? I guess I know what you're going to do before you eat lunch today. You know, many professing believers are like this. They look good on the outside, but they're still bad on the inside. They're trying to conform to something they're not. The heart of stone's never been replaced with a heart of flesh. They appear to be regenerated, new, but the inside is still dead. Did you know back in the 1800s, it was commonplace, it was common to take pictures of the recently dead, posing them as if they were still alive. Now, this is a little macabre, so hang on. When a family member died, the first step wasn't get the funeral home director or coroner or mortician, but it was to call the photographer. And if a twin died, you would actually prop him up and pose him with the living twin to get quick pictures so they couldn't tell which one had died and which one hadn't. That was something they did. Matter of fact, photographers even had with their camera equipment cadaver stands made of steel so the dead person could be made to stand and look like they were still alive. That's pretty bad, isn't it? 2014, this is really crazy. True story. I shouldn't have to say that, but it's true. Miriam Burbank died in New Orleans. Her daughter said they didn't want people to see her in the casket, but they wanted her in a scene that portended life. They wanted her to look like she was fully alive. So the family of Miriam Burbank, in accordance with her wishes, propped her up at a table, wearing sunglasses, holding a cigarette and a can of beer, and had a disco ball flashing overhead and disco music playing. I would love to know what disco music was playing. Staying alive, staying alive. I doubt it. I doubt it. I just made that up. Fingernails painted black and gold, color of the New Orleans Saints. The only thing she didn't have was a sign on the table by the cigarette and the beer can said, this is the good life. What a picture of those with religion on the outside, no saving faith on the inside. Friend, it's all phoniness, facade, fakery, not faith. And some of them know it and some of them don't. To borrow a movie line, some of them don't know they're dead. I guess the real question is, has your heart of stone been exchanged for a heart of flesh? Is your faith based on a real understanding of the grace of God in your life and a true experience of having called on Him to save you? It's to those who are right on the outside, wrong on the inside, Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did not we preach in your name and in your name drive out demons and do miracles? And I'll say to them plainly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of evil. Being born again starts on the inside. When we're given a new nature, so we want to turn from sin and we want to live for Christ. The new birth is not a list of do's and don'ts we keep. It is a change of a person's nature. And only the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart and life can give you different want-tos. If the inside is no different, then it might be because you've not yet experienced the new birth. See, a good outside is incompatible with an old inside. And if a person's worked to change the outside and they still not had the inside changed, they should ask the Lord, change me, Lord, change me. Give me a heart of flesh and the right want-tos. That's important. If you have a good outside but a bad inside, you're in need of salvation. Pharisees had a good outside but a bad inside. They dedicated themselves to worshiping God's law but not God. Prided themselves on separating themselves from sinners, but their hearts were sinful. Fasted twice a week, tithed, gave alms, kept the Sabbath, wore luxurious clothing with little blue stripes and the four fringed ends to remind them of the law of Moses and the four letters of God's name. They carried a little box on their head and on their hand with parchment strips and Bible verses so everybody would say, oh, they're so spiritual. And they criticized Jesus because they thought he didn't keep their rules. He stayed with sinners, not away from them. When the Pharisees taught night and day, what they said was different than what Jesus taught. Faith was external. It was all in the actions. It was not in the heart. And friend, if all you have today is an outside faith but not an inside faith, you can ask God today to change you from the inside, and He will. He'll give you a heart of flesh and remove the heart of stone. Don't put a new patch on an old garment. They're incompatible. Number two, recognize fact number two, a good inside and a bad outside. Good inside and a bad outside is possible. 37, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the new wine will burst the skins and it'll be spilled out and the skins will be ruined. Here the inside is new, the new wine, the outside is old, the old wineskins. New wine and an old wineskin over time would ferment, producing carbon dioxide, and it would burst these old fragile goat skins where they kept their beverages. Pouring something new into something old won't work. Not only would our Lord's message of grace not fit with the rules of the Pharisees, but having saving faith on the inside but not living any differently on the outside will cast doubts on your profession of faith, what you really believe. Once again, I don't want to cast any names of any celebrities and athletes who say they're Christians, but their actions and lifestyle suggest differently. I don't know the heart. I don't know if the faith is real. But if it's real, they need to make sure their behavior lines up with their belief. The Bible says if any man or woman, boy or girl is in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. When a person invites Jesus into their heart, man, they ought to go public with their decision. They should make it public by baptism. It doesn't save you, but it's an important testimony. They ought to join a Bible-believing church. That doesn't save you, but it's part of your testimony. Live differently at home. Live differently at work. Speech ought to be different. Habits ought to be different. Attendance, involvement, giving, all those things ought to be different. The work of sanctification by the Holy Spirit takes time as we read God's Word, as we pray, as we grow. It's the Holy Spirit who changes us. So the outside matches the inside. If we're good on the outside but not on the inside, we need to be saved. If we're good on the inside but not on the outside, we need to grow in our faith. Here's what's for certain. A profession of faith is incompatible with a worldly, carnal lifestyle. The late Vance Havner used to say, problem today is the church has become so worldly and the world has become so churchy, you can't tell the difference between the two. If you're saved, God has called you to be different from the world. The Bible says in Galatians 1:4, Jesus gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world. Jesus said, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. The rich young ruler would not come to Christ because his heart was in the world. Ours should not be. Paul told the Colossians, set your minds on things above, not the things of this world. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Lot set his mind on the things of the world. Lot, worldly believer. He was a believer. The Bible calls him in Hebrews, just Lot, saved Lot. But oh, he was wrong on the outside, as evidenced by where he wanted to live and why he wanted to live there. The angel told him, leave Sodom. And the Bible says Lot lingered. He didn't want to go. Man, everything he'd accumulated, all of his vast treasures from the good land were there, the herds, the livestock, the valuables. And so he lingered and looked at his stuff. He didn't want to go. And the angel had to grab his hand, and he grabbed his wife and daughter's hands and had to drag them out of Sodom, kicking and screaming. Let's go, Lot. God has sent us to destroy the place. Get a move on. Let's go. But they dragged their feet because they didn't want to leave. That's what you call worldliness. Yeah, Lot was saved, but he was carnal. He was worldly. This proves worldliness is not just how you live. It's what a person prioritizes. It's what's a priority in your life. The things of God and the things of the world. Sandra West drew up a will. Said when she died, she wanted to be buried in her black nightgown in her prized powder blue Ferrari. She overdosed of painkillers tragically in 1983. So her brother, in keeping with her will, put her in a Ferrari and a wooden box and a vault at the cemetery, covered with two truckloads of concrete so no one would be tempted to dig up the car. Not her, the car. If you go to the Alamo Masonic Cemetery in San Antonio, Texas, I think I'm going to go there the next time. Right down the street from the Alamo, I mean less than a quarter mile down the road from the Alamo, is the Alamo Masonic Cemetery. You'll find in there a simple grave marker with the name Sandra West. 9 feet under the marker is a powder blue Ferrari in a large wooden crate covered by concrete. Behind the wheel are the remains of a woman in a black nightgown. Contrary to what she thought, we don't take it with us. We don't. New patches are incompatible on old garments, and the old inside is incompatible with the new outside. Religious activity is worthless if you're not saved and born again. And new wine and old wineskins are incompatible. And new faith doesn't work with the old lifestyle. If you're truly saved, man, it ought to be evident in the way you live. You ought to be different on the outside. Radically, fanatically, dramatically different in how you live. Your faith won't be effective if you're worldly. Just won't. And that brings us to the third fact we need to realize. We need a good inside and a good outside. Good inside, good outside. Verse 38, but new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. We need to make sure we're new on the inside and new on the outside. Heart of stone's been changed to a heart of flesh, and our lifestyle shows it. Friend, this is what it means to be a follower of Christ. It means we live it and we tell it. You know what Romans 10:9 does not say? It does not say if we believe Jesus is Lord and believe God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. It doesn't say that. It says if you shall confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's assumed if we believe it, we're going to live it and confess it, what means tell others about it. Friend, this is what it means to be an effective servant for God. We believe it, we behave it, and we blurt it out. Believe, behave, and blurt. That's the Christian life. That's not just what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be a Southern Baptist. That we believe it, we know it, we live it, we tell it. That's what a Christian is. You'll be glad to know that right after the Beirut explosion in Lebanon, Send Relief, our SBC compassion ministry, funded by our gifts, responded with bottled water, food boxes, clothing, other supplies. Bryant Wright, president of Send Relief for the convention, said we helped clear debris in a 13-square-mile area. 13-square-mile explosion. We repaired homes and gave help in Jesus' name. Our missionaries worked giving out sandwiches and the gospel. And we had ministry partners there to give first aid and medical help. The explosion was 6 months ago. Hard to believe that's been 6 months ago. But our missionaries are requesting this. Here's what they're requesting, quote, please pray for the despair and anger that many are still feeling to be channeled into service and sacrifice for others. Pray that God will use the brokenness still being felt by millions to soften hearts to receive physical and spiritual help. End quote. That's from our missionaries to you, to me. Christian, that's not only needed in a city that was destroyed by incompatibles. It's what we need to do all the time. make sure what's on the inside is compatible with what's on the outside. So let me close with a few questions for you. Soul-seeking questions. First and foremost, have you really been changed and born again on the inside? Do you know for a fact you're in Christ and you're a new creation in Christ, 100% sure heaven is your final destination? Do you remember when you came with all your guilt and sin and knelt in contrition at His feet and the Holy Spirit entered in and wrought in you a change complete? Do you remember that? When you had a definite personal salvation experience with Christ. See, I don't believe salvation's like osmosis. It happens because you're American or you go to a church or you're born in a good family or you got a preacher who's an uncle or whatever. No, no, no. It's a personal salvation experience. And number two is what's on the inside, what's on the outside. Are you living like a believer? Are you living like Lot and your heart is really in the world? Maybe starting today you'll say, as the old song says, I have decided I'm going to live like a believer, turn my back on the deceiver, going to live what I believe. Why not do that today? Starting today, let the inside and outside match. Let there be no incompatibility. 204 people, old and young, were killed instantly when there was an explosion in Beirut, Lebanon last August. Friend, the fact is, none of us know how much time we have left to live for the Lord. I mean, time is going by so fast. Each day goes by faster than the previous day. It's amazing sometimes how, well, I'll say somebody getting older, that time goes by faster. Friday afternoon, I walked in the gym and I saw this teenage young man shooting basketball. And I said, hey, how's it going? I'm on the other side of the gym and he's over on the other side of the gym. And I said, hey, how's it going? It's going fine, deep voice. How's it going? It's going fine. I said, well, you here by yourself? Yes. I'm thinking, what teenager is here by himself in the gym? And I said, well, you got a mom or dad that's here? Yeah, somebody's outside walking. And I said, are you a member of our church? This young man, teenager, look, shooting ball? Yes. He said, Pastor Chris, it's me. Oh, Brady Stevens. I didn't recognize you. I'm thinking, last time I saw you, he's like that. Ain't like that. Well, not quite, but he looked that tall. And I'm sitting there thinking, what happened? Where did time go? And that's the way life is, isn't it? We have time to make the inside match the outside. But we don't have a lot of time. You don't have a lot of time to get the inside right, friend. If you're not 100% sure, certain you're going to heaven today, let today be the day you do that, all right? Don't be incompatible in your faith. Be incredible with your faith. And God will